content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition.
One Life Radio appreciates the support from our sponsors. Make sure you check out these great companies. Sun Warrior, the pioneers of plant-based protein. Go to sunwarrior.com and use the code OLR for 20% off your order. Enviromedica, makers of Terraflora and new Immuniflora. Learn more at enviromedica.com. Castor and Pollux, extraordinary pet food that has set the new standard of purposeful pet food. Paleo Magazine is now all digital, so you can go to paleomagazine.com and subscribe. Also, the Wellbeing Journal, combining physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, and social aspects of health. VegWorld Magazine. Sign up and get a free online subscription at VegWorldMag.com. The International Society of Sports Nutrition, the only nonprofit academic society dedicated to sports nutrition and supplementation. Learn more at SportsNutritionSociety.org. And Thorne Research, redefining what it means to be well and pushing the limits of human potential. Go to the sponsor page at OneLifeRadio.com for links and listener discounts. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio.
Higher, baby, you're in the right place. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Junior in the Mix, broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia, as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. Happy Workout Wednesday, Junior.
Yeah, same to you. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. I haven't gotten my workout in yet today, but I was running all over the house, you know. I'm always doing stuff. Always.
Yeah, you always get a workout in. It may not be with weights, but you're always moving around doing stuff.
So. Oh, yeah. But I have been working out a lot, and I'm already seeing the results. In fact, Maria just told me your thighs look great.
That's always good to hear.
What girl doesn't want to hear that? Right? And I'm like, yeah, good. Baby. Yeah. American thighs. What's that song by AC/DC where it says, knocking me out with those American thighs?
Oh, that's, you know, isn't that, you shook me all night long?
You shook me. Yeah. All night long. Yeah. Gosh. I'm going to have to play that later and dance around a little bit during my exercise routine. But one of the things I've been doing is a lot of core training, which is what we're going to talk about today with Tina Burnett Allen here in just a second. I'm going to introduce her. I want to tell you that we have a fantastic guest who's back, Dr. Dan Engel. He is a medical doctor and the author of the Concussion Repair Manual. And he's also opened a new incredible clinic down in Austin where he practices functional medicine, integrative psychiatry, and neurocognitive restoration and peak performance methods. And he is the guy to go to if you want treatment for a spiritually transformative experience, or STE is what it's called. It's psychedelic assisted psychotherapy. I'm so excited to talk about him at the half, as you can hear in my voice. I really am. I love reading about this, and I've had my own spiritually transformative experience myself back a few years ago. And so I'm super excited to talk with him. And I'm always excited to have Tina Burnett Allen on the show. Tina, are you there?
I'm here, Bernadette.
All right. Did you work out already today? Did you work out already today, or have you just been training everybody?
I've been working out other people. I just came from the gym training Jill Lane. She's back at it after taking a short hiatus. So, yeah.
Right.
I just literally ran in the door. I was like, she was talking a lot today. So I was like, all right, you got to finish on your own. I got to go.
All right. Well, you know, I love Jill, and you and Tina, Jill and Tina have been on the show from the very beginning, Junior, almost like I'm going to say within the first couple of months, Kip Watson too. They were all kind of friends, and made it happen. Mm-hmm. And Jill Lane, you know what? I just mentioned her in a post on social media because she told me about this company called FX Chocolate. And I got them in the mail today, and they're incredible. And so really cool company. Their packaging was off the charts. But and Jill also has a restaurant, her husband does, called Oaked, O-A-K, apostrophe D, right? Isn't that how you spell it, Tina?
Yeah.
Oaked?
Yeah, that's it.
Oaked. Uh-huh. And it's on Upper Greenville, a couple blocks from Central Market. They have fantastic food. I don't eat meat, but people will tell you that they have like some of the best barbecue in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. So check them out and support my friend Jill and Michael Lane. I don't know the address, but we'll have to go there sometime. You've been there. I've been there. But, Junior, you haven't been there, have you?
No, and I love barbecue. So, yes, I'm down to go whenever.
Well, you know what?
They have some Wagyu beef, which my husband got one time, and oh my gosh, I'm not a huge brisket person, but then they have whole chickens, and they have turkey, and they have, you know, pulled pork and all that stuff, but then they have really good sides. And Bernadette, right. You like a lot mm-hmm. of the sides. They have a lot of bread. Yep. They have some Brussels sprouts and roasted cauliflower, so they have some healthy options, and salad you can put a bunch of stuff on, so it's a great option for anybody, whether you're an eating meat or not.
Well, and here's the thing. They make really good in-house dressing, which not many restaurants do. And for me, that's a huge plus. It reminds me of the old Wingstop days, you know, and all of our sauces were made from scratch. And that's one of the things that made Wingstop so successful. Everything was fresh, you know. It was constantly rotated. So the food quality was excellent. And it's excellent at Oak, too. So I encourage you to check it out and support my dear friend Jill Lane and her husband, Michael. But, Tina, you know, it's always great to have you on the air. The whole purpose of Workout Wednesdays is encourage everyone to exercise because it is such a critical part of our wellness, right?
That is right. It's it's about, especially with all the corona stuff that went on, I think more and more people are taking better care of their health because they don't want to get sick and die. So I think Jill was talking about more people are taking supplements than like there's like statistics on how many more people are working out, how many more people are, I mean, the gym, when I was just training Jill, it was just packed. I mean, it's more crowded than I think I've ever seen it. So I think, you know, it's just so important for all of our mental and physical health is to exercise.
I couldn't agree more, and I can't think of anybody better to be on the air with than you, Tina Burnett Allen. She has a bachelor's of kinesiology. She is a certified strength and conditioning specialist. She is a certified in biomechanics, and Tina's been in the fitness industry for over 30 years, teaching cardiovascular classes at several of Dallas's top studios and health clubs, as well as instructing and developing resistance training programs for individuals and groups in the gym and in the home. And she's also been named the top female personal trainer in DFW by the Personal Trainers Hall of Fame. You can contact Tina at tbfitnesspro@gmail.com or follow her on Instagram at tbfitnesspro. Today we're talking about the 10 move stomach workout that you can do at home for a strong, a stronger core. I do a lot of these exercises already, Tina, that you have taught me over the years. So let's talk about it. You want to go right into it?
Well, I want to talk about kind of what, you know, a goal should be when, or what is your goal in working your abdominals? And a lot of people still to this day, even though there's so much information out there about that you can't really spot reduce, you can't do a bunch of crunches, you shouldn't be doing them anyway, and burn the fat off your stomach. And people looking for trying to get a flat stomach or washboard abs or whatever, you know, that is not by just doing abdominal work. Your goal when you do abdominal work shouldn't just be about trying to change the appearance of your stomach as much as it is more about building a strong core, because core stability is the basis of all movements and it's the key to getting stronger all over. So if you don't have a strong core, even other exercises, even daily routine exercises that you do, like all the stuff you do at home, you're not going to be as strong with that. So thinking of doing core training, and by the way, your core muscles are not just your abdominal muscles. Mm-hmm. They include your glutes, and a lot of people don't realize that because it's not just about strengthening your abdominals. It's about strengthening your glutes, because what gives your spine the most stability, your axial skeleton is your spine and your pelvis, and your glutes are all connected into the pelvic bone, right? So if your glutes are strong, it makes your spine strong, and it enables you to have more control and stability and force in your torso when you strengthen the glutes as well. And a lot of these exercises do incorporate glutes as well. And that's why I thought this was good, a good article that I found, because I'm a lot of times I'm like, I see articles, I'm like, I don't know about that, you know?
Yeah.
But this one's good because they don't do any sit-ups or crunches. And a lot of people still are doing sit-ups and crunches. And Bernadette, you and I have talked before about why, you know, Dr. Stuart McGill, I mention him all the time, because he studied the spine for years and was trying to figure out what was the main cause of disc degeneration and disc bulges and herniations. And he said one of the worst things we do for our spine is repeated spinal flexion, which is basically a crunch or a sit-up when you're crunching forward and lifting up. And it's just so little benefit and very high risk to the spine. And it's degenerative. It's over a period of time. So if you do sit-ups once, it's not going to mean you're going to herniate a disc. But if you do after several times for, you know, days and years, it really does mess with your spine. And same thing, sitting for long periods of time when in a flex position where your back's rounded and you're hunched over your computer, that's repeated spinal flexion. And it just is really damaging to the disc between your vertebrae. So.
Yeah, no. Well, I'm excited about digging into this article, the 10 move stomach workout that you can do at home for a stronger core. And you know that old expression, what is it about abs can be made in the kitchen and the living room and with these exercises, but so can your diet affect, you know, and you don't want to go ahead.
Well, the goal is if you're trying to get the fat off, if you have extra body fat or belly fat, as I like to call it, you know, the way to get that off is a bunch of things. It's your nutrition. Of course, that's the biggest part of it. It's how much sleep you're getting. It's the type of exercises you're doing. Just working your abs and nothing else is not going to burn fat off your body. You know, if you're trying to get body fat down off your stomach, then you kind of got to do the whole program. You got to do some weights and resistance training. You got to do some, you know, sprint training if you can, or even walking. And walking is great. I've been walking my dog almost every day now, trying to get her out of the house. Remember we talked, I think it was last time I was on the show, just about the importance of animals getting exercise.
So,
you know, and just doing that helps reduce stress, getting outdoors and keeping your stress levels down, getting more sleep. All of that is going to help change the appearance of your stomach and your whole body, of course. If you're really, you know, if you have like, you know, you see some like men that have muscle everywhere, but then they still got that butt, that belly fat. Well, doing a bunch of crunches and abs is not going to get rid of it. Again, the goal when you work your abdominals and your core should really be in your mind about strengthening your and creating a better, more stable, all over physical body.
I love talking about this. I think during the break, I'm going to do some plank to bird dogs and some plank rotations. So we'll go to break real quick. More coming up with Tina Burnett Allen. You're listening to One Life Radio.
On Facebook, hit like and follow us at One Life Radio.
Bring it.
Woo! I'm full of energy. What's up with that? What is he doing?
I don't know. It's Will Smith. That's what he does in his songs.
No, I love that song. Oh my gosh. Wahoo, everybody. Welcome back to One Life Radio. I am woohoo because I just did a bunch of squats and I did a bunch of bird dogs. And Tina, you would be impressed. I haven't trained with you in, I don't know, about a month, trying to save a little cash, you know? and it's actually, I think I'm more motivated because I know I can't depend on you. And it feels good. It really does, you know, to just get lean, both financially and physically. I just did 20 bird dogs on each side of my body. You can't even believe how well I can do them now. My body's just really getting strong, my core. And then I did 20 squats with 40 pounds, 20 pound, 20 pounds in each hand, and got my,
awesome.
Yeah, feels good. It feels so good.
So, whenever you can get it in, right?
Right. Whenever you can get it in. And I'm going to do it at every break. And by the end of the show, I got a little bit of a workout in, right?
That's right.
I love it.
It is Workout Wednesday.
It is Workout Wednesday with Tina Burnett Allen. She's incredible. She really is. I've known Tina, oh my gosh, like almost 10 years now, because our 10-year anniversary, believe it or not, Tina, is going to be August the 9th, was when I signed my first contract with iHeartMedia. So, 10 That's years. Awesome. We're gonna have a blowout party. I can tell you that.
Can't Big wait.
Bar. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, I love having you on the air. I do. And if someone now is just joining us, Tina Burnett Allen has a bachelor's of kinesiology, and she is a certified strength and conditioning specialist. She's also certified in biomechanics, and she has been in the fitness industry for over 30 years, teaching cardiovascular classes at several of Dallas's top studios and health clubs. Also been named the top female personal trainer in DFW by the Personal Trainers Hall of Fame. So you're in good hands listening to Tina. Today we're talking about the 10 move stomach workout that you can do at home for a stronger core. So let's talk about the first one, Tina, a single leg plank. Seems pretty easy, right? That's probably one of the easiest ones in here.
It probably is, but what's interesting is as many people as I've trained in my career, this is a tough one. And, you know, for some people, just holding a plank, and this is a plank on your hands, you could do it on your elbows, but this is a hand plank. So you're on your hands and feet, you know, looking at the ground, looking at the floor, and you're lifting, you're alternating, lifting your legs straight up behind you. So that's where we're bringing in the glutes, because you're doing a hip extension, a little bit of hamstring. And then you're having to stabilize with your upper body and your core. And it's just, a lot of people have a hard time just holding the hands and feet down. I've had people try this and they couldn't do it. You know, new clients. But you build, yeah. You just have to build up to it. So you're basically on your hands and feet, extending the legs straight up behind you towards the ceiling, making sure to keep your hips neutral with your shoulders. So you're not letting your booty go up in the air or your hips sink down below the shoulders. And then the next one is out of that same position, the plank rotations. And basically you're on your hands and feet, just like you were on the first exercise, and you're rotating where your arm, one arm goes up and you rotate to your side, where you go into a side plank. And a side plank, your feet are, you got one foot in front of the other, you put one arm up in the air and you're holding yourself up with just that one arm, and you're just rotating, going back to both hands and then rotating with that other opposite arm going up towards the ceiling. It's real important to just go slow on this and take your time. Mm-hmm. You know, don't rush through it.
Right.
This again requires a lot of upper body strength.
Yeah, you just made me think of something, because I can hear you talking in my ear, or the many times that you've trained me. You can't rush through this, because you defeat the whole purpose of the gains that you're trying to make, the core strength, and you have to hold the position kind of, right, and tighten the muscles and lift the leg up far enough where you engage the glutes, where your butt gets hard, right?
Yes, exactly. That's the key. And keeping the leg nice and straight when your leg goes up is important. And this next exercise is probably the toughest one on this list. And this is one of my favorites. It is very hard to do. I have just a handful of clients that are able to do it, but you're again on the hands and feet plank position, not your elbows. And a bird dog is when you lift your right arm and your left leg. And a lot of for beginning exercisers, you would do this on your hands and knees. So you would have your knees on the floor underneath your hips, and reach the right arm up and then extend the left leg out. So it's an opposite arm and leg movement. This one that they're doing is advancing out of being on your hands and knees, if someone's a new exerciser out there, first do this on your hands and knees. And then as you get stronger, you can try to advance to that, because this is a very advanced move. So you're lifting. It's like the first move we did where you're holding a plank and extending your legs behind you. This one, you're adding the arm to it. So your one leg going up and the opposite arm's going up as well. And this one, you really have to, the thing I see people do the most is they want to put their rear end way up in the air because that makes it easier. Mm-hmm. But that's also cheating. So if you're doing it that way, try as much as you can to not let your rear end go way up high in the air where you're kind of in a pike position instead of a plank position, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I've gotten so good at them. I really have.
Are these, like, can you envision how, because it's always hard to describe exercises over the air where people can't actually see me doing it. I need to make a video of all these exercises, which I will. But does it make sense how I'm describing it, Junior, since you may not have done these movements before, for someone out there that has never done these?
Yeah, I mean, I can picture it and follow it along. I mean, I'm a visual learner, so I would probably have to see it just to do it right. Yeah. But, I mean, I could get an idea of what you're talking about in my head for sure. Yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah. Seeing the visual is always better. That's why I need to make a video of all these.
Yeah.
And then the next one, Bernadette, is kind of what you were just doing. This is a goblet squat. And you can either use a kettlebell or a dumbbell. And the reason a goblet squat, so you're squatting, your feet are nice and wide, but you're holding the weight at your chest instead of holding it at, you know, your sides or something. And this actually causes you to activate your abdominal and spine state muscles and spine stabilizing muscles more when the weight's up versus you're holding a kettlebell down below, kind of like you're doing a deadlift. This actually is a lot tougher because but it's better because it's causing you to activate more core muscles than if you were holding the weight with your arms straight down between your legs. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, and it's amazing the difference when we've done it before, and you know, like, no, hold it up against your chest, and it also gets your heart pumping, so you get more of a cardiovascular workout along with building muscle and strengthening your core. That's one of the best parts of adding weight, right?
Yeah, it'll raise your heart rate a lot more when the weight's up at your chest. It really will. So you're basically getting strength and cardio. You know, that's always how I like to train my clients is get your cardio workout while you're doing your strength training. You can do it all in one session. And this is a really good one. And of course it brings in your glutes. Once again, you notice these exercises, most of them implement activating the glutes as well.
Yeah. And I can't wait for you to do the video. We'll put it out on our social. You're always really good in those videos. You are. You're such a good instructor. You really are. You know, the next one on this list is pike ups. Let's talk about pike ups. I actually didn't know they were called that, but you've done these with me many times.
So hold on. I think you skipped a couple of ones, but that's okay.
I did. I apologize. I skipped.
Sure we get this one in, but let's talk about pike ups as long as we're talking about it. So
okay.
I like to call it a gliding jackknife. And this, you can use a towel. We use the gliding disc, you know, the little round disc that can sit slide on the floor.
You can use paper plates, right?
I don't know if paper plates would slide very well. Maybe you could try it. But another thing you can use are those discs that you move furniture with that you put under. I know people that have used those before. You know, the little round disc you put under the foot of a couch to move it. You can use those. Anything that'll slide on the floor. I mean, the towel's so simple. But you're in the plank position again. Notice there's a lot of planking going on in all these exercises. So your feet are on the towel or on the gliding disc. And you're basically moving your leg, your butt goes up in the air, and you're moving your feet towards your hands in a piked position. Mm-hmm. And this is another really challenging one, and again, requires a lot of upper body strength, but that's why you want to do it, because it's going to help build the upper body strength. And I like doing it with my knees slightly bent, and so I have my clients do it, not just keeping your legs totally straight, and making sure that when your feet slide in towards your hands, your butt goes up, that you're not shifting your weight into your feet, but you're keeping your body weight over your hands. Because once you start putting all the weight back in the feet, you're really taking away from the upper body and core activation that you would get if you were keeping your weight more so going forward over your hands with your body, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and the thing
you know,
I like
you
about
know what I mean.
Yeah. And the thing I like about all these is you can pick a couple to do, you know, do pick three and, you know, do them one at a time, of course, and then go back and do another set or maybe even another set and you're done. At least doing something every day has really helped me, I know personally, to not get overwhelmed when I don't have the time, but yet get some exercise in. And I'm already seeing results. But one of the reasons is because I've got the muscle memory. So, you know, that always helps because I've been in tremendous shape before. And so I'm not going to have to worry work. I kind of like I already put the work in, right? And so my muscles know it.
Yeah, right? But that's important. That's an important point, Bernadette, because I tell people all the time, consistency is the key.
Yep.
You got to be consistent. It, you know, it's not working out for a month and then not working out for a month or two and then trying to get back. And yeah, you do have muscle memory, but the more you make it just part of your life and lifestyle, you can do it until you're 90. I mean, your body is going to remember those motor patterns.
Yeah.
And you'll be able to get results faster if you do have to take a break because of injury or, you know, sickness or something. Once you get back into it, you may have to start easier, but then you'll be able to get right back where you were.
Right. I'm looking at the clock. We only have about a minute. We have about a minute, maybe a minute and a half, Tina. So one of the ones I skipped over was the dumbbell overhead walk and the hollow body hold.
What I want to talk about, though, is the beast walk, because that's one of my favorites. And this is what I'm doing with David Wellick, who came on the show, that I'm doing animal flow yoga. And I had Jill do it today, and she was dying.
Oh, I can't wait.
So basically, it's number 8 on the list. It's the beast walk. And so you're basically, you're on all fours. You start with your knees on the floor. You have your knees right under your hips and your hands right under your shoulders. And then you lift your knees up off the floor, but you just like an inch or two off the floor, literally. And you try to keep your shins parallel to the floor. And you take little short movements walking like a baby crawl. So if your right leg hand goes forward, your left foot goes forward. But it's little tiny movements. And the goal is to keep your core stable and not let your body move a lot. And one thing that David teaches me is imagine you have a pole resting on your back and you're trying to not let that pole roll off your back.
Mm-hmm.
So it puts a whole different spin on it. So it's a lot of core, it's a lot of lower body, but it's an excellent. And again, it's more advanced, but it's a great movement.
Yeah, the video you showed me the other night when we met for a few minutes, it was incredible. You'll have to share that on social, too. I hope to get to that place one day. But like you said, consistency is the key to success, no matter what it is. And that especially is true with working out. And so I hope, you know, our chat today encouraged everyone out there listening to go get some exercise because it is so important and critical to your overall well-being. Agreed?
Yeah.
Again?
Agreed. Amen.
Amen, sister. You can tell we know each other really well. Oh, my gosh. All right. Well, Tina, always great to have you on the air. We're going to go to break, and I look forward to seeing you soon and having you back on the air in a couple of weeks. Take care and have a great day.
All right. Bye.
All right. That's Tina Burnett Allen. Everyone, you can contact her at tbfitnesspro@gmail.com or on Instagram at tbfitnesspro. We'll be right back with Dr. Dan Engel. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Listening to One Life Radio. Make sure you check out our podcast and get to know the show at oneliferadio.com.
All right, everyone. Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Junior in the Mix. We are broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. I am so excited to have Dr. Dan Engel back. He is a medical doctor and he is the author of the Concussion Repair Manual, a practical guide to recovering from traumatic brain injuries. His clinical practice combines functional medicine, integrative psychiatry, Century Neurocognitive Restoration and Peak Performance Methods. Dr. Dan is the founder and medical director of the Kuya Transformational Medicine Center in Austin, Texas. He also serves as a medical advisor to Onnit Labs and the True Rest Float Centers. His website is drdaningle.com, and that's E-N-G-L-E. Always an honor and a pleasure to have you on the show. How are you doing today, Dr. Dan?
I'm great, Bernadette. How about you?
I'm great. And I'm always excited to talk about this. This is one of my favorite things to talk about, as you know. Our topic today is spiritually transformative experiences, or STE. So, Dr. Dan, what is a spiritually transformative experience, or STE?
Yeah, it's a great question. It's one of those experiences that people really have to go through in order to fully understand. And we can talk about the intellectual kind of common overarching themes. So this process, spiritually transformative experiences, as it suggests, is a transformation at the deepest level of one's being. And I think about it in each of those three aspects that mirrors the title of it. So it's a spiritual, mm-hmm. it's a transformative, and it's an experience. So the spirituality of it means that we get connected with awe and wonder to something larger than ourselves. And people might call that God, creator, source, name of a thousand names. And it's a transformative experience. So at the deepest aspect of our own being, we start to become new. And through that renewal process, we get revisioned. You can revision your life, have a new sense of yourself, a new relationship with life, what you're here to do, et cetera. And because it's such a profound experience, it really mm-hmm. needs to be integrated over time in order to be fully utilized.
Yeah, well said. And you know what? So for people that don't understand and that have never had the experience, what happens in the brain during a spiritually transformative experience?
Yeah, I think of it both psychologically and neurologically. So psychologically, we spoke about that transformative process. It's really about like how a person identifies themselves, sees themselves, sees life. And as the brain reflects that, we're still really understanding neurochemically and neurologically, neuroanatomically, what's even happening. So there's a neuroendocrine cascade, a whole series of neurotransmitters that include serotonin, endorphins, oxytocin, dopamine, anandamide, et cetera. There's a whole litany of neurochemicals that start to move and show the robust experience of what's happening in the mind. And then there's this address of the ego, so to speak, called the default mode network that becomes more flexible and pliable. So a lot of us have heard the term neuroplasticity, as the brain can develop new growth patterns over time. Well, the ego can become, or a person's sense of identity can become plastic and flexible, so as to be able to let down some of the guards and defense mechanisms that we may need to go through in order to rescue our core wounds and bring them current and then become more whole and liberated through that whole process. Mm. So the ego starts to become a little plastic. The fear centers start to become a little bit more pliable, so that those defenses and that psychic armor isn't so guarded and keeping us from the core wounds that actually need to be healed in order for us to be transformed.
Mm-hmm. I love this conversation. Junior, are you enjoying this as well?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, me too. I just love talking about it. Okay, so, you know, a psychedelic assisted psychotherapy is a type of spiritually transformative experience. Can we talk about that? How the two are related?
Sure. When we think about transformative experiences, there are a variety of ways to get the genie out of the bottle, so to speak. That can be in deep states of meditation, in deep communion with nature, typically in isolation, when we're communing with the home that we've all been born from and come from. It can be a near-death experience, which is a little less stable and easy to predict, but one of the more transformative and profound experiences that people can go through. Mm-hmm. And then you have this new, it's really not a terribly new, but it's being codified in more of a contemporary context, this growing field of psychedelic-assisted psychotherapy. Mm-hmm. The psychedelic mm-hmm. translates into mind manifesting or mind growing, so to speak. And these medicines that offer an altered state of consciousness in a controlled therapeutic setting can really help us become more healed and whole than we thought we could be before.
Mm-hmm. And are you allowed to use these medicines now? Is the FDA approving them? Like, for example, at your new medical center in Austin, the Kuya Transformational Medicine Center, are you able to use these medicines?
The one that is largely legal in our country at this point is ketamine.
Okay.
And so there are a lot of ketamine clinics opening up, and we will, our center goes live next month. We will be providing ketamine therapy in that setting as well. And it's also opening the door to recognize that there are a variety of other medicines that we can work with as well. So we have a larger menu of options. And those other medicines that are becoming legal in the next 12 to 18 months are MDMA-supported psychotherapy and psilocybin. Supported psychotherapy.
Wow, that is so exciting. It is. I've had the experience before, and it was life-changing. And for anyone that has ever had it, they know that it is one of the most meaningful experiences of their lives, that it's just an incredible experience. It healed my soul. It healed my mind. There's no comparison to it. And so I think it's so exciting that so many people out there are going to have this therapy and a psilocybin drug available to them. For all types of things, you know, they're using it in therapy for cancer, depression, addiction, right? Just to name a few.
And these really typically and historically hard to treat conditions,
right.
Like chronic severe PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, chronic severe depression, when somebody's been on medications for years and years and still hasn't cracked that code, or severe anxiety or chronic pain or addiction. All of these in the field of psychiatry are typically really hard to treat. And when you bring in a novel, new psychedelic-assisted psychotherapeutic framework for it, the psychedelics will open up aspects of the psyche. And you just use the term soul. That's the original definition and translation of the term psyche.
Oh, so wow. The
field of psychiatry at its root is really a field of soul-centered medicine. And we're just now starting to remember that.
Yeah, I love talking about this. And you mentioned ketamine earlier. So that's what you're using as a treatment. Am I mistaken on this? Isn't that, or was, it's an anesthesia, right? You use a lower dose of it?
Right, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, so ketamine's been around for 40 to 50 years. It's been used off-label. Originally it came on the scene as a surgical anesthetic. Initially in veterinarian medicine, and then came over to human trials. And then many people going into surgery using ketamine as anesthesia, if that person had an experience with chronic severe depression, many of those people would come out of surgery feeling better.
Wow.
And it was really strange, particularly 30 plus years ago when it started becoming more and more prevalent and appreciated. Back then, it was believed that you really needed to talk your way out of the issue, and that some pharmaceuticals like antidepressants might be helpful. So Prozac was coming on the scene at that point.
Yeah.
Ketamine came on the scene too, and it was really powerful in its ability to interrupt chronic depression pretty significantly, pretty immediately, and oftentimes it would last, especially if it was done in a series of treatments.
Mm-hmm.
So the usual series of treatments now is like 6 to 10 sessions.
It's
also important to recognize that ketamine by itself is not meant to cure the underlying issue. If the underlying issue is related to a core wound in the psyche and that's led to depression, then the core wound itself has to be healed. And therefore, it's ideal for these medicines, whether it's ketamine, MDMA, psilocybin, et cetera, to be used in a therapeutic context. Otherwise, you're simply just relieving the symptoms. And ketamine works better than most antidepressants, to be sure.
Wow.
It's also a lot safer than most. But we need to also be able to put it in a context of examining what the core issues are. Otherwise, the person just gets reliant on an outside agent like ketamine to improve their symptoms, but not really ever get to the curative factor.
Yeah. Are there other countries that are already using the psilocybin drug therapy for depression, addiction, and cancer?
Yeah. But, you know, funny enough, the U.S. drug policy has led the world stage for the last 50 years.
Hmm.
Since the Nixon administration made it public enemy number one and all psychedelics went into Schedule One. We, at that point, led the entire global policy, and most countries haven't caught up. So the only two countries where psilocybin is actually formally legal is Jamaica and Brazil.
Wow. Well,
and
you
then
know,
there's one, and then the Netherlands, you can use truffles, which is a different part of the psilocybin.
Mm-hmm. I've done that when I was in the Netherlands a long time ago.
Right. Right. So that's another kind of like third tier approach. But, you know, out of what is it, 168 countries in the world or something like that, only two have it formally legal. It's
yeah.
preposterous because actually psilocybin is much safer than alcohol, caffeine. And many of the things that we use on a day-to-day basis to alter our own consciousness without even recognizing it.
Well,
you can't overdose. There's no LD50 on psilocybin. You could take a trash bag full of them and you would just puke them out. No
yeah.
one's ever died on an overdose. So it's not only very effective, it's extraordinarily safe.
Well, we're going to talk more about it. I'm looking at the clock. We're going to go for a quick break. Everyone, stay tuned. More of Dr. Dan Engel coming up. We're talking about spiritually transformative experiences, or STEs. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Tried to beat you, but you're so hot that I melted. I fell right through the cracks. Now I'm trying to get back. Before the cool done run out, I'll be giving it my best. This and nothing's gonna stop me but divine intervention. I reckon it's again my turn to win some or learn some. But I won't hesitate no more, no more. It cannot wait. I'm yours.
Mm-hmm. Follow us on social media at One Life Radio.
All right, everyone. Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Junior in the Mix and Dr. Dan Engel. We are broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. So many questions I want to ask you, and I'm getting so many emails and texts right now, Dr. Dan. People are so inquisitive about this topic, and I cannot wait for this market to explode and heal so many people all over the world, especially in this country. So how does a person change after a psychedelic-assisted psychotherapy and a spiritually transformative experience?
Yeah, it's another great question, and it's super individual because everybody's experience of their souls is different. Their relationship with God and the divine is different. They're, you know, the larger experience of their life when they open up into the fullness of who they are, that looks unique for everybody. But some of the core thematics and the general framework of it is, I think of it as the acronym is P3.
Mm-hmm.
So people's priorities can change, their purpose can change, and the people around them can change. And
yeah.
what I mean by that is a person might go through a reflection of their previous set of priorities, which were usually externally focused.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever society says that is successful, so much money in the bank, so the right kind of partners and people and the flashy external kind of social media profile, how many likes you have on Facebook, you know, that kind of extrinsically focused goal orientation of validation now becomes internally referenced. So my priorities now might be quality time with my friends and actually reprioritizing play and recreation and fun and coming back into a sense of wonder and awe and a relationship with nature and music. And those things actually bring us the deepest experience satisfaction, but the busyness of life can just kind of overtake.
Yeah.
So that's priority change. And then our sense of purpose might change, or what we want to do to contribute. Like the term Dharma means sacred duty. Like what am I here to do that's only unique to me, that only I can do, because now I'm appreciating and remembering how unique and special my talents are, and also how the world would be incomplete without me in it. The world would be incomplete without you, without everybody, because we're all meant to be here.
Mm-hmm.
So those transformative experiences start to recontextualize this. In the last part, the people, oftentimes we go through a transformative process. We realize, okay, now what is growing through me and becoming from me now might require a little bit different relational constellation. I might need to be around now people that lift me up and they continue to inspire me. And they're okay supporting me going through this transformative experience, even if it might be messy or inconvenient or uncomfortable, because transformation is not meant to be easy or convenient. That's the key aspect, because the ego is built around survival and stability. And when we get so used to that, it looks like convenience. Mm-hmm. Well, when the soul starts to come online and we get in touch with the deeper aspect of the glory of who we are, that process is like a caterpillar going into a butterfly. But that internal intermediate stage is the cocoon. And for some people, that classically looks like the dark night of the soul, or a really deep transformative process where I'm getting reworked from the inside, and it may be a little uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. So it's not, it can sound really rosy. You're like, oh yeah, I want to go through a transformative process. Well, if you read the accounts of people who have really gone through a transformative experience, sometimes oftentimes it's not convenient. It's not predictable. I can't really conveniently slot it into the Tetris of my busy calendar-oriented life. Mm-hmm. I might need to have some flexibility and some support going through it.
Yeah. I could listen to you all day. I'm high just from listening to you articulate the whole experience. I love listening to you speak about this experience, and so many questions going through my head. One of them is a question from a listener. Does psychedelic assisted psychotherapy induce hallucinations during the treatment? So many people want to know that.
Great question. It really depends on the medicine that's used. So psilocybin is classically hallucinogenic, a classic psychedelic. So it does create a unique visual landscape. MDMA is not a classic psychedelic. It's more of what's called an empathogen. So it connects us to a sense of relational synergy and resonance. It creates empathy. It doesn't classically have that visual landscape. Ketamine is similar. Ketamine is a dissociative anesthetic. It's not classically a psychedelic or an empathogen. It's very unique to itself. Some people can have a little bit of a muted fractal experience with it. And it's very dose dependent too. If you use a little bit of ketamine, then you can have this kind of altered state of consciousness that can explore some of the underlying aspects of the psyche. If you use a lot, then you go into essentially sleep. But it's also safe because you don't drop your respiratory driver, or you can still breathe even if you're unconscious. So that's why a lot of people use it in therapy. So it very much depends on the medicine you use.
Wow. And there's the music. Doggone it. You're going to have to come back sooner than later. I can't get enough of this stuff. And we just scratched the surface. We really did. So many questions left unanswered for myself and all of our listeners. And I can't wait for your center to open in Austin. When is the date of the Kuya Transformational Medicine Center? When does it open?
It's around August 1st.
So oh,
about
wow.
6 weeks from now.
All right. Well, we will come down there and check it out. And always great. I'll talk to you soon, Dr. Dan. Take care and have a great day.
Thank you, Bernadette. Take care.
You're welcome. Oh, my gosh, you guys. I love it. I love it. And I hope you did, too. You know what? You get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Get out there today and have a great day and get some exercise in.